This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, back out of here on The Fan. It is Afternoon Drive. Jonathan Pino and Jake Vonick with you guys. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get you an idea that Darius Garland had at the All-Star Weekend. And we'll find out whether or not that's a good one. The Lead, brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Former Browns quarterback Brian Hoyer joined the morning show today. Talked about the state of the Browns and what they should do with Myles Garrett.
The Browns are in Deshaun Watson purgatory, and you have an opportunity to trade a guy who wants to be traded, get a few first-round picks. You already have the second pick. Replace him with Abdul Carter if he's there. I know people get agitated. I know there's a lot of fans who say, oh, he's not loyal. Look, Miles has been a tremendous player for the Browns, defensive player of the year, a huge part of that community. But at a certain point, he wants to win, and I don't know how close the Browns are to getting to that point. I'm sure he sat there this year, watched Saquon Barkley go from the Giants to the Eagles and win a Super Bowl. The money he's great, but at a certain point, if you're a competitor, you want to be up there hosting that Lombardi Trophy. I think, actually, Miles is doing the Browns a favor by asking for a trade, especially at this point in his career, where you could still get a few number one picks for him.
Yeah, JB, we got into this earlier, and it just makes me mad. The phrasing of it makes me angry. I can't sit here and go, Miles is doing you a favor. Miles does you no favors. When you request out and you want to trade, there's no part of you that's doing me a favor unless I have already said, I want to go and rebuild. I want to tear this thing down. That's when you're doing me a favor. When it's competitive time, leaving as the best player in all of defense in the NFL is not doing me a favor.
Yeah, Miles is in the business of Miles, and I just don't want it to be painted any other way. And I don't begrudge Miles for that. Your dime, your dance for. You go ahead and make whatever call you need to make, but I don't need to go ahead and lift you up on your shoulders and act like you're Rudy being taken off the field at the end of the day either. You know, I get to be mad about it. I get to be mad that it might not be in the Browns' best interest long-term or short-term. And really, for my money, it's not doing the Browns a favor. For my money, what it is doing is all but guaranteeing that this team wins anywhere between 5 to 8 wins next year. And I don't love that development.
No, that's the worst. That is where I put you in, like, no man's land. That is no man's land. I would either rather be really bad or really good. I never want to be the 7-win team in the NFL drafting it like 15, 16. It gets you nowhere. You're not going to get a top-end quarterback, but you're also not competitive enough to look at it and go, oh, this is really good. This is really good. At least we are competitive. No, 7 wins, you miss the playoffs, and I also have no draft pick really to show for it.
Yeah, you're stuck in quarterback purgatory, really. And that, at the end of the day, is the hardest part.
Well, I mean, at least as Browns fans, we have no clue what that's like, right?
Yeah.
Just 40 down. Yeah. Not a big deal. 40 down since 99. No big deal.
It's like I was watching, I don't even remember what I was watching, some baseball thing, right? And then they were talking about the Red Sox, and it was a shirt from somebody that was clearly from like 1999, though. And the shirt was like, anybody can have a bad century. And it was like, that was the mentality. And then obviously everything broke through with the Red Sox, and they can look at that and have that in the rearview mirror. But we're going on a pretty long stretch here.
Yeah, we're at least 2 decades. Albert Breer of the MMQB joined us last hour and talked about the gamble involved in drafting a quarterback and other options that might be available to the Browns.
All of this is about timeline, and so much of the timeline just rides on that one position. and what you're capable of doing. Like, all right, so like, let's say Matthew Stafford becomes available, but it's not tenable right now. But you can trade Myles Garrett, and maybe a team is willing to take on Deshaun Watson's contract with Myles Garrett if they don't have to give up two first-round picks, if they only have to give up one first-round pick. Then do you do that? Because if you get Deshaun off your books, then all of a sudden Stafford becomes an option for you, right? You use the extra first-round pick that you saved on Stafford. So, you know, like, you kind of, like, look at that, and it's like I think you have to kind of wrap your head around the idea, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It really is. It so much rides on that position, and I think it really kind of brings into focus, at least to me, it brings into focus the consequences of the Deshaun Watson trade for the Browns.
I'm glad we haven't spent too much time on the Deshaun Watson, Myles Garrett, can they be traded together convo. I remember we had a caller on Afternoon Drive about a month ago, and the caller, it was during the 520 segment, was like, what happens if you can convince a team to just take them both on, and then we get rid of, you know, Deshaun Watson? And basically, it's what Mike Florio spent the weekend advocating that the Browns do, and get creative and find a way to make this all happen. And I remember I looked at the numbers in real time, and I was like, just from a financial standpoint, it would absolutely cripple the Browns from a cap standpoint. It would be very, very hard to pull off. But even if the Browns could pull it off, one of the reasons why it never made sense to me is that how do you have a team, Jake, that would be willing to take on and make a big trade to get Myles Garrett because they feel like they're a defensive piece away from competing, but also have the cap flexibility to take on a new contract for Myles worth $40 million and then the remaining contract of Deshaun Watson? And that's where I feel like that might just be a bridge too far. You have to have the perfect storm of a team that feels like they're just Myles Garrett away, but then also has enough cap space to be able to absorb both contracts. And that just feels like it's non-existent. Even a team, I'm trying to come up with one that would even make sense off the top of my head, and I can't find one.
No, I don't think I have one in the bag. There's nobody that's actually willing to do that. Plus, the only way that I think you can actually sell this to a team is, maybe Deshaun still got something, right? Maybe you could actually utilize his contract. Yeah, we're going to take it as a negative because of what he's been, but maybe you still have some faith in him. And you know how many teams are probably in that boat? I would say 0 out of 31.
Well, so like, for instance, I was thinking of the Bears, right?
Yeah.
And if the Bears took Myles Garrett, it would make them it's an instant upgrade. There's a lot of valuable things that Myles does for any team, right? But they have cap space. They could do something like this. But then that means that they can't spend the money on an elite part of the offensive line that they need to help save Caleb Williams, who was running for his life because they draft Rome Odunze, the wide receiver, instead of drafting on the offensive line to begin with. Like, you see what I mean? Like, it just, anytime you try to shuffle it, it always becomes they could use help here. Lions, for instance. Aiden Hutchinson and Myles Garrett would be great together. That's why it's a big conversation. But if you're going to add Myles Garrett to the mix and then also take on the contract cost of Deshaun Watson, then that completely wipes away the idea that you could pay Aiden Hutchinson as well. And even if you were able to maneuver it and kick the can down the road for Hutchinson, okay, you still need a lot of defensive secondary help. You got to pay Kirby Joseph. You got to pay some of these other guys. You got to add to that room that was decimated last season. And so everywhere you look at it, who's got the flexibility to make both parts of it work? I just don't think it exists.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find anybody that can get that done. There's just no way you can actually go through and sell somebody on that idea. Which, by the way, any other time, you're also going to be looking for draft capital back. What does that include? Because any team taking it on is saying, Myles is the piece we need, and there's nothing else wrong with this team. We're ready to go right then and there, and we're also willing to eat the cap, probably be above the salary cap, be fine, taxed, and have to get below it in the years following while also dealing with the remainder of Deshaun's contract and paying Myles. There's no team, I think, that feels confident in doing that.
It seems impossible. I like that Florio brought it up because that's the right thing for someone like Florio to bring up. I like Florio. He gets ragged on a lot. I like him because he tends to think outside the box with things. And where most people would say it can never happen, Florio puts it out there and then he, you know, tests to see what exactly it would look like. And I thought it was interesting when we talked to Albert about it. Albert went towards the idea that the Browns got creative with Osweiler in the past in that deal. And so maybe they'd get creative again and could pull something like that off. And I'll give the Browns the benefit of the doubt. I do think they're very creative in that front office. Like, if a team could pull it off, it would be them. It just seems like it's very, very hard to be able to pull off to begin with, though, and it's more of a pipe dream than reality.
Yeah, not going to trust him to do it. Shedeur Sanders went viral today for saying he only uses the Browns when playing Madden. John Fana joined us today at 4 and weighed in on Shador's desire to play Cleveland.
That's a big thing. That, to me, sends a message to the city. After there were some early rumors of the other side of that, that's certainly not true. And look, Cam Ward is a fantastic talent as well, who had 39 touchdowns and 7 picks this past year. You know, broke that touchdown record. There was speculation, you know, did he quit on his team? Come on. He's a very, very talented player. But Shadur, I am fascinated with him. I think his talent level, his playmaking ability, he's got a pocket presence about him, but he can get out of there and make something happen. And he gets it. All his answers that you're seeing the last couple of weeks, that he has a desire to play for the Cleveland Browns. Those are big green lights if you're the Browns front office. And now it's just a matter of evaluating talent.
Is Nick going to be crushed that John Fanta, our weekly 4 o'clock Tuesday guest, is that hard in the paint for Shadur Sanders? I can't wait to tell him on Thursday. I'm not going to bother him with a text message today. That's not appropriate. But I can't wait to see him on Thursday and be like, oh, did you hear what John Fanta had to say? And it'd be like, what'd he say? And I'm like, well, take that, Joe DeLeon.
See, like, so at some point you have to take your victory lap, but you also have to understand, and you know, Nick's coming back hard next Tuesday. He's flying back at this thing.
I can't wait.
Calm down over there, Mac.
Easy now. He's talking downtown.
But
Daddy's back.
That's right.
He's definitely going to be in here on Tuesday talking to John Fanta, trying to get him to go and go anti-Shadur on this thing.
We'll find out. Does he flop harder than James Harden? I don't know Fanta well enough to know if he does or doesn't. Does the man go as the wind goes? I don't know. But through 2 weeks, I'm wildly impressed.
You were probably in the boat last time, when you went to the Cleveland Sports Awards.
Yeah.
You felt that you might have been pro-mascot. Nick made sure that you were anti-mascot by the end of it.
Well,
you were kind of anti-mascot already, but...
That was Nick's doing. That wasn't my doing. He started a whole revolt against me in the mascot community. The cool thing about going after the mascot community, they don't hawk.
It'll all spread.
Every mascot is going to hate you. And I'm like, how? They don't say anything. It's the perfect group to attack and go after. One mascot loves it. Slider loves me and will always love me. Other mascots we had a real issue with.
Yeah, I don't know. The hot dogs seem pretty vocal on social media. They might be able to get after you.
The hot dog talked on social media?
No, they don't talk, but they're active on social media. Their account is very active and feels like it has a lot of pull in this city.
I got no problem with the hot dogs.
That's what you think. The hot dogs have heard what you've been saying.
I thought I had no problem with the hot dogs. Man, I once took a call on the air. Somebody told me that the hot dog race was rigged. And I was like, well, that makes sense, right? It's got to be rigged. And they were like, well, yeah, but like the part I didn't know is that they said that they don't know who's going to win the race until like seconds before they go out there. And then the three people that are in the hot dog costumes are like, so you want to win today? You want to win today? All right, we'll have you win today. And then they just go after it.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that for the amount of storylines they have drummed up with this thing, where Mustard went on his winning streak and then they stripped him of it and then brought it back. No, this thing is a season-long plan for someone.
Maybe it's changed, but are you calling my callers a liar? Is that what you're doing, Jake? As you take over nighttime tomorrow and we'll have to deal with the same callers that I had?
Well,
you calling them a liar, Jake?
I ain't calling them a truther. Play that much.
Okay, Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps today. She was asked about the Browns' offseason as they try to avoid a full rebound.
Retooling and restocking doesn't mean that you're not trying to win as many games as you possibly can. There's no such thing in my mind in today's NFL of tanking and rebuilding and tearing it all down. There's just no need to do that with all of the avenues that you have to keep a team competitive. I think they need to add maybe 3 or 4 key pieces in free agency, and then there will always be those 3 or 4 other sort of second or third tier players that you will acquire to bolster certain positions. But I think they can get 3 or 4 key pieces. I don't think they are necessarily going to go out and pursue the top 3 players in this free agency period because of the money situation that they're in right now. But I do think that they will find opportunities to fortify a position and bring in a couple of starters that will really help them.
I guess what is key player?
I've heard Mary Kay talk before about like a double-digit sack guy or something like that, which I do think is more plausible than not. Like, I love the idea that everyone's like, oh, you have to get Abdul Carter, and that's fine. But like, you can find Pro Bowl defensive ends consistently on the market. Like, they do exist. Yeah, it's a lot more names like guys like Jadeveon Clowney a few years ago. It's names like that. Danielle Hunter last year just went to the Texans, right? It's names like that. They do exist on the market.
They're available. It's just If you're the Browns, you got a lot of money to toss around? Got a lot of money to toss around to go sign those guys?
I have some freed up money if Miles is on a different team, depending on when you cut him and trade him. Trade him.
And if somebody looks at him and goes, yeah, we'll eat the $36 million here.
Well, so it would be in the post-June 1st right. cut would be much better. Yeah, and there's no eating the dead cap part of that,
yeah.
which will still exist, but it'll be spread out over 2 years. And now we're getting into Joel Corey land, and so that ain't great for anybody. All right, that is The Lead, brought to you by Slater and Zers. Experience you need, results you want. We come on back, want to hear from you guys, 216-474-BELOW92. A radical idea that would alter the NBA, and it came from a member of the Cavs. We'll explain what that is next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. Debut show tomorrow night. Be listening to Jake and obviously be listening right now as we discuss the latest around the NBA. And it was a bad All-Star Game weekend. That's fine. We have not spent much time talking about it. I feel like hand up. Congratulations to the two of us for doing a sports radio show that did not involve talking about the SNL 50, did not talk about really hockey in any sort of way, did not talk about the WNBA. We had it in quick hits, but it really wasn't a major factor of it all. And then didn't spend much time just complaining about the All-Star game because it's Tuesday. We got there already. We got the point. You didn't like the All-Star game. It's fine. I can't believe Draymond was as vocal as he was. That's the only part I want to discuss briefly before we get to Darius Garland's comments. To be that vocal about it, why'd you sign up for the gig? Like, if someone came to me and was like, hey, Jonathan, we want you to broadcast an event I don't care about it. Let's call it the WNBA. As I saw fellow media members this weekend saying they wanted to be the voice of the WNBA, my good friend Adam. Our good friend Adam was like, hey, want to be the voice of the WNBA? Great, good for you. I think you do a great job at it. But, like, if they called and asked me, do you want to be the voice of the WNBA? I would be like, no, because that's not a job that I would ever have interest in. It's not something I follow. I wouldn't know half the names. Like, Draymond, if you have no interest in the All-Star game and the festivities around the All-Star game, maybe don't sign up to be on TNT talking about the All-Star game.
But you see, that's the whole shtick, though. That's their whole shtick. It's like, this is kind of terrible. Like, that's all they do.
All they do on Inside the NBA and TNT.
So isn't he also the perfect person to come on and then reinforce that idea as a player?
I think we need to rid that. And that's, I think as much good as Shaq and Ernie and Kenny and Charles have done, the bad that they brought on in completely talking about the product as if it stinks, there's no way it helps. Like, I know I don't, I'll be the first one to tell you. Do I love when I put on the MLB Network, for instance, and all they want to do is wax poetic about how great of a state baseball is in when baseball was not going through a great state of time? No, but that's also the job to a certain point, right? Like, no one wants to hear their product just bashed. It makes no sense. Like, there's a reason why, and listen, radio's in a very healthy place, despite what people will tell you, but you'd never hear me. If radio got to be in a spot where it was really dwindling and it was bad, you'd never hear me come on and be like, yeah, shocked you listen to the radio still, guys. What sense does that make?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not, especially when retired players like Shaq and Chuck, like, that makes sense. You sort of reminisce about the old days and that your era was better and the eras before you were even better than it is now. Draymond's currently playing. Like, he is in the current edition of the NBA, and the garbage that he's talking about in the All-Star game, you're competing to be in that every year. In fact, you participated in it this year. You were a part of the festivities. It just makes no sense. Again, if you want to trash different eras, I don't agree, but I can understand it. To be actively in it and also trashing it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It was odd. It was odd they, like, eulogized the whole four of them and tried to make it seem as if they just died, when in reality they're just going to a different network and the show still exists. It's weird how much we celebrate that show in general. Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yes, it's entertaining. I think we all agree it's entertaining, but all they do is bash on the product 24/7. Like, it's a weird moment to have them be the highlighted part of that. Like, what bird brain conference room decision was that? Where it's like, think about this. They all sat around on a table and they thought to themselves, all right, we're trying new theories out and new ways to do this whole entire All-Star game. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it a celebration of the four dudes that rip on the sport the most, while also, oh, great idea. We'll throw Kevin Hart in the mix to pick on SGA for hours on end and see if anyone responds accordingly. The hell kind of thought process? What suits are involved in this decision making? Jake, it was they got pudding for brains. Why do they operate this way?
Yeah, it doesn't seem so great.
Who thought that was a great idea? Put him on the in-game arena mic and just make Kevin Hart try to make a roast of NBA players as they try to play competitive for the first time in forever. No wonder once they got off the Mr. Beast contest, they didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, no, I can't agree with that part. The inside of the NBA, I understand to a degree because, again, you're on TNT. That show clearly does numbers, but it's interesting. It's interesting the way that show celebrates, you bring up, because it's like, yeah, it's Shaq, it's Kenny, it's Chuck. Like, they're big names. They're sort of, I think, revered around people who actually watch the show. It's also a group of people that I look at and I go, not the most educated group on the NBA currently. Like, they literally play a game with Chuck where they are like, where's this player now? No clue. Right? I just have no idea.
They don't know. Their whole shtick is just ragging on the league, and that's fine. Listen, the league does deserve to be ragged on at certain points. Like, what we're going to bring up here is we're going to talk about the idea that Darius Garland wants to go ahead and fix the NBA with one radical change, and that radical change being he wants to make a three-point shot now worth 4 points. And there's a lot we can discuss about that. I hate the idea that the NBA is now 75 three-pointers per game. That is up 5 three-pointers, not from like 10 years ago, Jake. That's up 5 three-pointers from just last season, okay? Like, we're moving at this radical pace. There was a game a couple months ago that involved the Bulls that had 108 three-pointers, Bulls and Celtics. Like, it's bad basketball. I get that. It's bad basketball. And I like the idea that basketball can be at this crossing points of, hey, let's figure out the way to fix the game. It's obviously broke. We got to figure out a way to do something. But that doesn't revolve around the idea that you just trash it 24/7. Like there were parts of this All-Star weekend I did like. I thought the slam dunk contest was good for the first time in a while. But like Mac McClung, I had a lot of fun watching that.
Yeah.
Jumped over a car. It was cool. Like I know it's not the three-peat we all wanted, you know, I get it. But like it was fun. That was a fun moment. And I don't know, even the games, up until they got mad at the TNT presentation of it all and involving the four broadcasters, I thought the players were playing harder. I thought they were. But I don't know that the NBA right now is ever going to get the casual fan to buy into what the product is right now. I just wouldn't celebrate it, how bad a shape it is, the way that they do it.
Yeah, wouldn't you And by the way, just the way they do it inside the NBA is a halftime pregame like show. You're there between the games at the halftime of the game. Like, that should be the time that you would be celebrating the game, no? Like, there's times to rag on it. If you don't agree with it, there's times to rag on it. I feel like in the middle of one of the games is probably not that time.
Yeah, I wonder, though, and tell me if you agree with this or disagree with this. I wonder if, and listen, we'll zero in on the 3-point to 4-point comment that Darius made in just a second, but I wonder if the NBA has gotten to a spot where they care more about, like inside the NBA with TNT, they care more about talking about the game than the actual games itself. Like one of the, what's one of the best parts about the NBA? It's talking about player movement, and it's talking about big-time stars going different places. This summer is going to be dominant. Now, we're watered out when it comes to the KD discussion. We don't care to have it as much because he's done so many movements. But that'll be one of the conversations. Does Kyrie opt out of his player option that he has and then go to the Knicks or something like that? Like player movement is such a big part, and stars moving is such a big part of that league. I wonder if we're going to get to a spot where that type of discussion, what inside the NBA and TNT is doing, will just matter so much more than the actual games themselves. Because I feel like so many NBA fans, until you get to the postseason, they like all the everything else that comes with the NBA, but they don't actually like the product right now. So it defaults into some of these other discussions to try to make it interesting.
Yeah, you have to find a way then to incentivize the game to be better in the regular season, right? Which is a product of a very big picture that you could do a whole 4-hour show on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's why you can't,
big.
But that's why you can't laugh when Darius Garland says 4-point shot. I had to have the setup the way that we did it here because I feel like instinctively a lot of people would just laugh at the 4-point shot and say Darius is off his rocker. He doesn't make any sense. He doesn't get it. You can't do something that radical. What would the history books think of it? Okay, all right, we'll settle down for a second. You also told me all sorts of things baseball couldn't do, and now they're doing them, and the game is better than it ever has been as far as pace and as far as enjoyment is concerned. Like, at some point, you do have to adapt or die. And when your audience is telling you in so many ways, part of the reason why I hated the discourse around the All-Star Weekend and people hating on it is because it felt reflective of what these conversations are going to be like when it comes to the 3-point being changed to a 4-point conversation. I don't hate you having the conversation. You need to have the conversation. Keep taking swings at the conversation, okay? See what works, see what doesn't work, test it out, and then get us the best results because the game does have to improve at the end of this.
Yeah, it has to get better. I don't know that this specific instance is something that I point to. I feel like incentivizing the 3-point shot even more.
Well, so the idea, I think the idea behind it wouldn't be that it's a 4-point shot instead of, and then inside would be a 2-point shot. I think it would be a 4-point shot, you'd move it back, and then it'd be a 3-point shot inside. So you'd completely shatter the record books because the points are never going to equal anything close to what they used to be. But what you're doing is you're trying to raise the percentages.
I still don't love it.
Because right now, a 3-point shot is worth 50% more than a 2-point shot. Obvious right. math would tell you that, right? And a 4-point shot is not, it's just not worth as much as a 3-point shot then if you try to level it out. So it would put more incentive to the idea that you have to actually score in front of the perimeter instead of behind the perimeter. What you're doing is you're taking away the weightedness of the 4-point, what would be a 4-point shot.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to throw out an idea as a bad idea just because it's out there. It's something. If it gives you to not shoot 100 3-pointers in a game or not shoot 90 threes in a game, I'm on board for it.
I think they're at the territory where there's no such thing as a bad idea. Like, if you want to tell me the game is resolved by Red Panda juggling at halftime, I'm like, I'm okay, all right, how do we do this? You want more people stack the cups than Red Panda does? What's the race to? You know, I'm open to just about anything when it comes to fixing the NBA. Because the NBA right now, Jake, like we talked before the show, it's like, what interests you with the Cavs for the remaining part of the season until the postseason? Obviously, DeAndre Hunter and how he fixes and finds his way into this is a part of it. But how does the casual fan, and the Cavs are different because you're playing for something, but even still, how does the casual fan get up for a random Cavs game up until the end of the season? Like, you'll be interested in the Knicks game on Friday night. You'll be involved in that. Of course we will. We want to see how they stack up against New York. We want to see how New York stacks up against us is the real question. They're 0-5 against the top teams. Top teams being the Thunder, the Cavs, and the Celtics. Like, they have not beat big-time players. We're interested in those things, but the actual interest, we're just winding down the clock until we get to the postseason.
In a way that's different. I mean, it's almost to me as if basketball has gone more the way of baseball, where the day-to-day, like, you could tune in to a baseball game or not. There's 162 of them. You don't feel the need for that. I almost feel like it's a way to get your players to play in every game and make those games meaningful, whether that's 82 games, 62 games, whether there's no back-to-backs, there are back-to-backs, whether you have to change the way the game is actually played. Something drastic needs to be done, though, which is why I like Darius throwing out the idea that, hey, maybe a four-point shot into the three, like raising the points of the game. Sure, it's going to look wonky in the record books when we make this change. So did adding the three-point shot in general, right?
Yeah.
When that was added in, I'm sure there were plenty of people starting at that going, what? Well, just because you're going to shoot the ball farther, you should get more points. It should be all about putting the ball in the basket. It's the exact same conversation. What, we're just going to throw away everything from before? Like, yeah, to an degree, like, we can look at it as sort of two different eras, the pre-four-point shot era and the post, and understand that in the post, you're going to get scores closer to like 200.
Yeah, and the product just has to get better is the main idea. You have to find some way to make the product better, and jacking up a million three-pointers right now is not good television for anybody involved. It isn't. And now I sound like the Inside the NBA crew, but like part of what they're ragging on, there is a truth to it. As much as I hate them doing it during All-Star Weekend and making that their whole shtick, part of there is a reality to what they're saying. Jared and Canton up next. What's up, Jared?
Come on, Jared.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Jared.
Hey, all right, quick. I was just listening to you guys talking about it, and I think it's something that most sports fans agree with. I mean, like, basketball was always my favorite sport growing up, and I played all the big three. And it's just, you're just watching a product in decline, and it almost shows like a disconnect from like leadership in the NBA, because they're not really figuring out a way to improve the game, like you said, in comparison to Major League Baseball. And it's always been weird to me that the NFL plays 16 games a year and blows everybody out in ratings versus 82 games versus 162. I don't personally agree with the four-point line, and I know you can't raise the hoop. I mean, you could raise it to 11 feet. I get that for guys like Victor, Joel Embiid, all that. Different sports, as you get older, things change. The ball sizes change. I wouldn't change the ball size, but I wanted to ask you guys, any opinion on shrinking the rim down, maybe an inch, inch and a half?
Yeah, I mean
they've done it with field goals.
I don't hate it because, again, there's no – and, Jared, I appreciate you. We'll answer. We will, I promise. I don't hate it because, again, there's no bad idea, right? In the world the NBA is living in right now, zero bad ideas. Would shrinking it an inch take away and eliminate the three-point shot? Because that's what you need to do. You need to put an emphasis on scoring on the inside, even bringing back the mid-range in many ways. You just can't have 75 three-pointers a game, which is the new average, raised up by 5 from last year, which I would imagine next year when we have this conversation will be 80 three-pointers a game.
Yeah, so I think the dangerous part you get into by doing this is, yes, you might take away a little bit of the three-point shot, maybe, but you also are just taking away scoring in general. Which, if we know anything about the NFL, you don't want to eliminate offense. People like offense.
And we don't want it to be 2005 where NBA games were like, you know, 92 to 87.
Like, that's not good. It's like if you took the NFL.
It's not because it's good defense right there if you shrink the rim. It's just them missing a lot of shots.
Yeah, if you take the NFL and you're like, well, let's just make the field 150 yards. Right? So they have to drive farther to go down the field. Like, yeah. You're going to get less offense if you're getting better football, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. I want to live in the world of no bad ideas.
I don't think it's a bad idea. It's something.
But we
it's
might have
idea.
To put that one in the trash can. I don't know. That might live in the world of bad ideas. But I appreciate you giving that one. 216-474-0092. We come on back. We'll hit you with, in case we missed it, it's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.